As we are diving into part two of our sermon series called Preparing for Change this morning, and as we know, this is that time of year where we attempt to begin to jot down goals and set New Year's resolutions and aspire to make lifelong changing habits, to only find out 3 to 4 weeks later we are no longer fulfilling that changing habit. And I've been guilty of this in the past. I go strong for the first month of the year, and I'm like, yeah, man, I'm getting it. And then something happens, and I'm like, oh, well, it was a nice try, right? We're all guilty of being in that place. But I wanted to challenge you guys with a word that came to me recently of doing something different this year. And that word that I want to challenge you with in the year 2022, I got to get used to saying that, 2022, the word is persistent. Be persistent. The word persistent is defined as continuing firmly or obstinately in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Another way it's put is continue to exist or endure over a prolonged period of time. And so maybe whatever your goals are for this up and coming year or whatever your plans are, I want to challenge you guys to think of that word persistent. And the reason why that word persistent came to me, it's like a childlike persistence and pursuit of our growing in our faith in 2022. And how this word came to me is kind of really weird. I was laying in bed on Friday morning, and our wonderful son Ezra, who has been persistent enough to make his way into our bed every single night, his persistent childlike efforts, I was laying there, and every morning it never fails. We're laying in bed, and all of a sudden you start to hear this little jibber-jabber. I don't know what he's saying, but it's the cutest sound in the world, and he continually just does it and does it and does it, and he'll, you know, throw his hands here and throw his hands just like, hey, wake up. It's my time. Wake up. And so he does this persistent thing. And so my thought of this in reality is that we need to be persistent with our faith and this childlike effort. If you think about an infant, and I'm thinking about my little son here, that he is so persistent in trying to get whatever it is he's trying to get, whether it's my attention in the morning to wake us up, whether it's my wife saying, hey, look, I'm hungry, I'm going to be persistent, and I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing until you give me what I'm looking for. Being persistent, he's not going to give up. But as I think about him in the first 5 months of his life, I think about how he's just been so persistent. If his binky is, you know, a foot in front of him, he can't really move yet. But he's figuring out a way to wiggle his body until he can grab his binky and put it in his mouth. And then he'll roll over and do whatever it is that he wants to do. But this persistence. And see, I want to challenge us to kind of go back to that childlike faith and being persistent in our pursuit of our relationship with Jesus. That no matter what difficulties arise, no matter what opposition we face, no matter what barrier may be in the way or what limitations I may have, I want to make sure that we remain persistent in our pursuit of our walk with Jesus. And so I want to challenge you with that word in this new year to be persistent. All right? Got it? Did you write it down? You may not want to write it down. It's okay. But persistent is the word I'm giving you guys for the year. And so we're in week two of our sermon series, Preparing for Change. And just a little recap. And so last week, I challenged you guys with the thought of, what does it look like for me to follow Jesus? Right? We were in Matthew chapter 2, and we looked at how we found out how, like, Jesus was born a king. Jesus was a ruler, and there was something so significantly different about the life of Jesus, and that we had to realize that when Jesus came, he created this challenge where people had to determine their allegiance. And so we weren't used to the idea of kingship or following in the lordship, but the question I asked you guys is, will you allow Jesus to be king of your life? You have to choose. Will I continue to submit and follow worldly standards or worldly practices, or will I be willing to submit my life to Jesus, having a surrender to Jesus' lordship over my life. And I also shared with us last week that a lot of what we truly desire and the change that we want to see in our life can only come through Jesus. And I ask you guys to reflect on this past year, and not to reflect in a way that you beat yourself up or tell yourself how much you messed up or how many times you've missed something. But I wanted to challenge you to reflect on your life over this past year and ask yourselves the question, hey, what areas do I still need to grow? And as you looked at your life and you reflect and say, hey, what areas do I still need to grow? And in those areas that I need to grow, I need to make sure that I'm aligning that growth, not with because the world says I need to grow this way, not because the world says, but based off of me reading God's word and saying, oh, these are the area in my life where I need to be stretched more in my faith. That as I reflect on my life and I reflect on the areas of weakness in my life, what does God's word say? How do I better align my life, the choices I make, the things that I do, the way that I carry myself, how do I better align myself with the word of God? And then begin to make changes. But remembering very importantly that change is a process. That this is not something that's going to happen instantly overnight. That we have to continue to do little things over time that will accumulate to the bigger picture of who we are trying to become. Same thing with the disciples. When they first started following Jesus, it began with a process. And eventually, they continued to grow and do the little things well and walk out their life in their faith and obedience as to where they got to a bigger place of what Jesus was calling them to be. And so understanding that change in our lives is a process. And so my word for the year that I feel like God gave me is simple. This is my own personal word. It has nothing to do with you guys. But it's simple. That I need to make my life simple. I have a guilty habit of overcomplicating my life and giving more to myself than what I probably need to. And so I'm still fleshing out the details of what simple looks like in my life. But I was told the word simple. And so with that in mind, I'm going to focus on one verse this morning. Simple, right? One verse this morning. And maybe if we take this one verse, and I'm not going to get to it just yet. But maybe if we take this one verse and we truly apply it to our lives, I wonder how it might impact our lives and the lives of others around us. And so today we are going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm not going to give you the verse yet, but we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. But before I get into 1 Corinthians chapter 10, so if you want to start turning your pages there, you can. But as I said, we will be in 1 Corinthians this morning. And so just a little recap of the Corinthian church and the idea of what we're talking about in the Bible this morning. And so the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church of Corinth. And I just did a little research on my own, just a little bit of studying. And it said Corinth was an ancient city of Greece. And it was in many ways the most prominent Greek city of Paul's time. As one might find in many of today's prosperous cities, Corinthians was extremely proud of their intellect, would boast on their great wealth, and were morally corrupt. Every kind of wickedness and corruption was found in this city that was known for satisfying its every desire. And if we know anything about the early church and the early Christianity, is that the Greeks had a big influence on some of the things that people were involved in and how they lived their lives. And so it is believed that Corinthian church included Jewish men and women, but mostly Gentiles, who had come out of a pagan background, which more than likely meant they were involved in other religions or lifestyles that reject the true God, and they had followed many false gods. So there were some issues that arose within the church, and Paul is writing this letter to address these issues. The Apostle Paul wanted to address these problems that were happening within the church, that were serious violations of God's standard. But he also wanted to provide godly counsel and instruction. In 1 Corinthians 10, the chapter starts out by Paul giving the Corinthians a warnings from the history of Israel. And so he goes back and he's giving them this kind of a brief reflection of these warnings. He's saying, beware that we don't be like the Israelite men and women. There were many that God was not too pleased with. Don't get caught up in sexual immorality. Let's not get caught up in idolatry and in the worshiping of things and false gods and items and the things of this world. He said, therefore, beloved, flee from idolatry. He said, you cannot partake in your calling, your follow of God's life if you're living a life opposite of the standards in which God has called us to live. And so Paul goes on and he addresses the idea of freedom, Christian freedom, in verses 23 through 24. It says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. And see, this idea behind us as followers of Christianity, of Jesus, is that we have a choice, that we all need to make a choice. We all have a decision to make in the way that we live our lifestyle. And so he is challenging them to make sure that we be wise in the choice in the way that we live our lives. And so all that to build up to this one verse, life-changing verse. All right? We're going to jump down to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And it says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Man, as we think about our life and the changes and the things that we're trying to do differently, I'm struck with this challenge of, does it bring glory to God? Am I doing it for the glory of God, or am I doing it for self? See, the main goal of a Christian's life is to please God and to bring honor to him. By becoming more like Jesus and reflecting his attitude of humility and selflessness toward God and others. Our task is to become more Christ-like, to bring glory and honor to God. And anything that cannot be done for God's glory in honor and gratitude to him as our Creator, Savior, and Lord, it should not be done at all. It should not be done at all. See, we've been called to live at a different standard. We've been called to pursue God a different way. We've been called to be intentional with the way that we live our lives. And I think so often what has happened is because as Paul is writing this letter to the church of the Corinthians, he's reminding them of the standards that God has called us to live our life. But somehow in the hustle and bustle and the shuffle of this ancient Greek city, it's easy to begin to conform and to begin to give into old ways and old idols and old lifestyles. It's easy to begin to rest on our traditions and those base principles that we get so consumed with, like, this is how I've always done it. I only know how to do it this way. But God's calling us to reevaluate that. Is what I'm doing truly bringing glory to God? Or is this just another thing that I'm doing? Is this just another tradition or another habit or another routine that I have developed in my life? See, I was struck with the question of, man, how do I bring glory to God in everything that I do? In the way that I carry myself. And see, we honor God by obedience, thankfulness, humility, faithfulness, prayer, and reliance on him, and selfless consideration of others for the sake of bringing them closer to Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love others as yourself. How do I bring glory to God? By obedience. By obedience. I was thinking of the story back when I played high school football. Freshman football, I joined the team late my freshman year, and I wasn't sure that I was going to even play because I was like, maybe I want to play, maybe I don't. So I joined the team. I maybe got 2 weeks of practice, and I was a bench warmer to start. You know, I was just like, I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm not really sure I want to play. And I remember I finally got put in the game, and it was the fourth quarter. Freshman year, I probably weighed 110 pounds, if that. And I was soaking wet. I was itty-bitty thing. I'm still not that big of a guy, as you can see. But I remember in the coach, I'm playing running back. I was determined to be a running back when I was in high school. So the coach puts me in the game. It's a sweep left. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready. I'm in the stance. And it keeps going. I'm like, yeah, no. As some guy just burst through my line, I guess they didn't want to block for me. They didn't like me too well. But the guy burst through, he took me and he just threw me to the ground and I just rolled over and like my aunt's recording is and she's like, go Ben, go Ben, go, oh no, oh, oh, oh. You know, like you hear all of the side effects of it, you know. And from that moment, I was second guessing playing football, right? But as the season went on, I continued to get involved and I continued to show up and I continued to be persistent. And as the year went on, I got better and better and better. And by my sophomore year, I was starting. But they switched me to quarterback. I was no longer a running back, right? But it made me think about this idea of being persistent in our faith and walking out in obedience. And this idea of obedience while following Christ, it means just stepping out and doing that one little thing well. It doesn't really correlate to the idea of me stepping on the football field and playing football, but the idea that I just stepped out and I did it, although I was fearful. Because sometimes when we begin to truly follow Jesus, there is fear in us a little bit because we're afraid of, what if I get this wrong? What if I say the wrong thing? What if I don't do it the way that God truly wanted me to do it? But God is calling us just to take that step of obedience. And so I was thinking back to, man, the more I continue to get out there, the more that I continue to do it, the more I continue to show up, the easier it became. Not that there wasn't still a little bit of fear, not that there wasn't still a little bit of nervousness, but I knew that all the preparation of what I've been doing had prepared me to be able to do what I was stepping on the field to do. And the same thing applies to our faith and our walk. Man, as I spend time in God's word, as I pray, as I worship, as I study, as I just say yes to the little things, God is preparing me and equipping me for the bigger things of stepping out even a little bit more. Stepping this way a little bit more. And so walking out in obedience and having a thankfulness and humility when we follow Jesus. See, do it all for the glory of God should be the guiding principle in our life this year. One, you had to first choose, where will my allegiance be? Will my allegiance be to the world or will it be to King Jesus? Secondly, you have to make a decision as you're making changes that, man, no matter what I do in this new year, no matter what I'm in pursuit of, no matter what I'm looking to change in my life, it has to stem from my relationship with God. And secondly, that all that I'm trying to do, it is to glorify Jesus. It is to glorify God. Do it all for the glory of God. A guide for our conduct and a test for our actions. Do it all for the glory of God, a guide for our conduct, and a test for our actions. How do you apply that to your daily life? Well, you're driving in your car, and somebody cuts you off. Little things. You're like, oh, that's nonsense. But little things. What words do I say about that person that just cut me off? Do you think those words would honor and glorify God? I don't know. For my road ragers in here, you know what I mean, right? In the way that we view others, Will my thoughts about an individual glorify God? Because a lot of times as we filter the lives of other people, we filter them through the lens of our own thoughts, our own minds, versus filtering it through the eyes of Jesus. We have to look at people differently. How can I glorify God in a way that I view others? In the little things that we do every single day, it's an opportunity for us to wake up. It's an opportunity for us to say, I'm going to choose to glorify God in what I say, in what I do, in how I interact with people. And there are moments where we slip up, but we just say, hey, God, I know I messed up. Forgive me. And God extends mercy in grace. I'm not asking us to be perfect, but I'm asking us to be persistent. As I go through the process of making changes in my life, I first have to choose my allegiance to Jesus. Because if I'm not aligned with him, then my life is not going to flow the way that God intended for it to flow. And secondly, I have to, in all that I do, I'm looking to glorify God. How can I bring God the glory this morning? And so two questions for you guys. What do you need to surrender in order to move into this new year with compassion, kindness, patience, love, and grace? It's your number one question. Question number one is, what do I need to surrender in order to move into this new year with compassion, kindness, patience, love, and grace? Let's be honest, we've all become a little moody in this past couple years. A little more ornery, a little less compassionate. Patience, what is that? But love and grace. And question number two is, how can you offer yourself more grace? How can I extend myself more grace? I'm not saying, how can I give myself a pass and be lazy and apathetic? But how can I extend myself more grace? Because we will mess up, right? We will make mistakes. We will make poor choices. None of us are perfect. But how can I extend myself more grace in those moments where I know, hey, I dropped the ball there. Let's turn the page and move forward. And how can you offer others more grace? How can I extend myself more grace? And how can I offer others more grace? Because when Jesus came, he came to be our Savior, our Lord. But he also died on the cross, which brought us grace and mercy. And as we enter into the new year, how can I be more grace-given to myself and to others? And so I'll read that one more time to you guys. 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And I'll give you a little phrase to say, you can read that verse every single day, or you can wake up in the morning and say, God, how can I bring you glory today? And after you say it when you wake up, you may need to say it before you get in your car. God, how may I bring you glory today? And as you arrive at the office, God, how may I bring you glory today? Because John has been getting on my nerves. No. As you're going to the grocery store, God, how may I bring you glory today? And that's showing, once again, that love, that compassion, that kindness, that patience, and that grace to others.